Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 256 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. In this episode, we preview the upcoming India versus England Test Match series. The Indian team will be up against England in a 5-match series starting tomorrow at the Rajiv Gandhi International Stadium in Hyderabad. We discuss the squads, players to watch out for, major observations, matchups, trends, and everything in between in this discussion. Joining us today is Srijan. He is a graduate in economics, political science and sociology from Christ Deemtribu University, Bengaluru. He is deeply passionate about cricket as a sport and prefers to write or talk about the game to just about anyone and everyone. He believes that one's love for the game shouldn't be defined by who is playing the sport. It should rather be on how the game is being played. Ultimately, no one is greater than the sport. Also, he enjoys reading autobiographies and biographies and anecdotal accounts of cricketers. His favorite cricket book to date is The Dhoni Touch, Unraveling the Enigma That is Mahendra Singh Dhoni by Bharat Sundaresan. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Srijan. Welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. Now, we have such an important and interesting series that kind of beckons us, right? India and England gear up for a very grueling 5-match test series, which a lot of us, you know, our test match fans and purists have been waiting for. So what are your first thoughts to kickstart the discussion?
Yeah. Hi, Neha. It's always good to be back on the podcast. And as you said, yes, a very important series, a marquee series that we have for us starting tomorrow against England in Hyderabad. A 5-test series is always grueling, but as Smash viewers and fans, I think we couldn't have asked for more. And it's going to be a really exciting series. Both teams have lined up really well. So I'm really excited for how this series shapes up.
Definitely. And I think, you know, before we delve deeper into this series, I think it's important to also look into where these test matches will be played, right? Now, we're looking at different venues across India. We have Hyderabad, we have Vishakhapatnam, Rajkot, Ranchi, and Dharamshala. Somewhere, you know, do you also believe in this school of thought that India should actually have 4 fixed test centers? A thought that was also, I think, echoed by our former skipper, Virat Kohli. And this is, again, you know, quite similar to how Australia does it. So do you think it's time for us to have some sort of consistency with the selection of venues?
No, not really, because as it is, if you look at test cricket, it's a dying sport and the odds are constantly dwindling. So if you limit it to 4 or 5 testers, the audience are going to be limited to those centers. The game is not going to grow. But if you're going to take these test matches to, you know, tier 2 cities and tier 3 cities, that's where audiences are going to come. These cities, right? These are not your primary test venues, or they don't get as much as international cricket as, say, maybe an Ahmedabad or a Kolkata or a Bangalore or a Chennai for that matter. So taking test cricket to as many venues as possible is absolutely important. And also, when you take these test matches to newer venues, you get new challenges to face up with. So it's always going to be exciting both for a player and for a viewer as well. So I don't believe that we should have fixed test centers. Take the game to more audience. Let the game spread is what I feel personally.
Fair enough. And in a country as big as India, you know, we have stadiums literally in every state. So it is a, you know, fair shout that having these test matches in different venues will definitely help the growth of the game as well somewhere. And looking at our competitors now, England, led by Ben Stokes, you know, they recently won a test series against Pakistan 3-0. And, you know, they would definitely like to, you know, achieve a victory against India as well, something that has eluded them in the recent past. So, again, you know, what do you think of England as this formidable side and looking good on paper?
Certainly, they did win the test series in Pakistan, but when you compare the type of wickets that they got in Pakistan, it really suited their style of play, or the bass ball style of play. But when it comes to India, I don't really think that they will have a lot of success. Again, this is my personal opinion. I don't really think that they will have a lot of success given the type of wickets that they're expected to face. But having said that, they do have some good batting talent, and the spinners, especially on the spinning department, they do lack a bit. But hopefully, their batting makes up for it. But if they stick on to playing old attritional Test cricket, that we are on for a very fine series. But apart from that, if they try to play their aggressive style of play, which has suited them on certain wickets, this might not be the venue. India might not be the place where you're going to see a lot of basketball going forward. So they need to adapt to the conditions, give the respect to the bowler, play out the initial session, and then judge where the game is going. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the approach with which England come forward in this series.
Definitely. And it's quite interesting you bring this point up, because when you look at the kind of strategies that England have used and something that has worked well for them, I think your mind definitely goes back to that last time when England won a test series in India. It was way back in 2012, and it was under the captaincy of Alastair Cook, right? So do you have any fond memories from that series? And, do you think England can kind of replicate that sort of a result?
Yeah, I think I do really, when I go back to that particular series, the 2012 series, my mind goes back to really fresh memories of watching a couple of Indian bowlers. You know, say for example, Ashwin, it was his first year into Test cricket. Pragyan Ojha was our spin spinner, and that is not really threatening, but he was also there. And we did lose the series. But when you were the England side at that point of time, really formidable batting. They had Cook on one side, Peterson also really good form in that time, and their spinners, both Graham Swan and Monty Panesar. That's something that's lacking with this particular Indian, this particular England side, where they don't have that spinners to match up quite really what they did in 2012. But having said that, time has passed, and it's been more than a decade. And England do seem to really believe on the set of spinners that they've got for this particular series, especially Rehan Ahmed and Bashir. I'm really looking forward to how these two particular spinners fare in this particular series. It's going to be a challenging series for both of them, but I'm really looking forward to how they fare up given the challenges.
Absolutely. They've been really exciting talents that have emerged from that England setup. You know, seeing them play age group cricket and, county has been a sight to behold. And looking at England, right, currently they're placed at what, 8th in that ICC World Test Championship points table. They have a pass percentage of 15, while India is, at the second position with a 54.16 pass percentage. So do you think India clearly has the edge here, and England is not the kind of side you just want to brush aside?
Definitely. England being down there, I don't even think they will be looking forward for a contention, a top two contention spot for the final. Having said that, India is in the second spot. They will really be looking to maximize the home advantage and get a really good score here, score line here, because they lost a very important test in South Africa as well, and they were docked points were over it. So having said that, it's going to be a good series, and then India is going to look to maximize their home advantage, something that they've done in the past, and there's absolutely nothing wrong in doing that. And India do walk in with the edge, and if they do have a good score line in the series, I personally think that we might be heading to another India-Australia final in the WTC come 2025.
Right. And I thought you'd, complete your thought there by saying India not just ending up in the final, but also winning that World Test Championship finals, because this is, again, something that has eluded us for two, consecutive editions. And it's quite heartbreaking, because the kind of journey that India takes to, reach there is remarkable, but then not being able to cross that final frontier is something that will hurt. But again, let's dive deeper into India's test squad. Now, quite an interesting squad that has been announced, but I think the major observations here definitely have to be how Mohammad Shami and Ishan Kishan both don't feature, right? There were few other changes made to the squad, that played that test series in South Africa where we witnessed that one-all draw. Again, what are your thoughts on this squad chosen and looking good?
Absolutely. This squad is really looking good. on all the aspects. If you look at spin department, we do have four spinners, Ashwin, Jadeja, Akshar, and then Kuldeep as well. Pacers, considering Indian conditions, you would not be looking at playing more than two paces. So both Siraj and Bumrah can do you the job. You also have someone like an Avesh or Mukesh waiting on the line. If you do manage to win the first two tests, I would, you know, say go on to rest Bumrah, go on to rest Siraj, keep them fresh. Play Mukesh and Avesh also, give them some game time. So pacers and spinners covered. Even with some big names missing, like for example, Virat Kohli is set to miss the first two test matches. So even with that, Shreyas, I think, slots in his place. So even with that, there's batting depth, there's quality spinners, and there's good fast bowlers. So pretty much covered every base that we can think of from an Indian perspective.
Definitely. And good, you know, you brought this point of Virat Kohli, because I think the biggest point is how he decided to take some time off and not feature in those first two tests. Do you think India will definitely miss him in that batting order? And I think, you know, we need to definitely respect his privacy and not speculate what the reasons could be. But then hoping everything's all good on his end.
Yeah, thoughts go out to Virat Kohli, because this is a third time he's missing India series in the last few months. But yeah, go to Virat and hope all is well. But having said that, I don't think Virat is such a big gap. Don't get me wrong, Virat is like a fabulous player in home conditions, and especially with the way he batted in those South African conditions, I think he looked like $1 million. But having said that, we do have some really good middle order options as well. Someone like a Shreyas Iyer can slot in straight at number four. We also have Pateela in the wings if they want to try a new option. But in Indian conditions, I don't think Virat Kohli should be such a big miss. And if he comes back for the third test, which I think he will, he slots in straight back. So the batting is pretty much sorted with or without Kohli.
Okay, I see where you come from there. And even, you know, now Virat Kohli won't be playing. You have Rajat Pathidhar, you know, who kind of makes his way. So what do you make of his inclusion? Because we've seen how he's been, you know, raking up those runs in domestic cricket, has looked super consistent. And, you know, the debate was, should it be him or Sarfraz Khan? So happy to see him make his way into this squad.
Yeah, Pathidhar has been someone who's been your consistent scorer in the domestic games. He's piled on runs season after season after season. But having said that, also thoughts go out for us, because if he can't come into this test side now, I don't think he ever can or ever will, because the middle order is happy. Because if now we also have KL Rahul vying for a spot in the middle order. Shubman Gill slotted in at three. So I don't really see how he missed out there. Personally, I would have liked to see him there, given the number of runs he scored, not just in India, but even in the A Tour against the England Lions and in South Africa as well. He did have a really good series. But unfortunately, he misses the bus. I was just alluding to this, and I would like to elaborate a little bit on this. Sarfraz missing out. When you look at a lot of players, say, for example, Dinesh Karthik or Pratibh Patel, we associate them playing under Dhoni's shadow. And they've always said, or commentators have often said, that they're born in the wrong era, and that's why they probably not made their spot in the Indian setup like that. So I genuinely hope that Sarfraz is not one such talent that we say is born in the wrong era, because we already have a packed middle order. He's a phenomenal talent. He's scored mountains and mountains of runs. And I hope that the India call-up is, you know, close by. Because we've seen in the past that, you know, even Mayank Agarwal and Prithvi Shaw, they've scored a lot of runs. They've literally broken the doors and come into the Indian side. So having to play for India is a dream that a lot of people cherish, and a very few people get to realize that dream in actuality. So I really hope that Sarfraz gets his call, but I'm really happy for Pathidhar as well. He has been one of the consistent scorers in the domestic competition. So if he makes his debut tomorrow, I would just say good luck, and I hope he has a good career. But thoughts for Sarfraz as well.
That's actually true because with the way Sarfraz has been performing again in the domestic circuit, you know, piling on runs and yet not making it into the main squad has been disheartening. He was hoping, you know, he can continue with this vein of form, play a lot of A2s and stake his claim in that Indian middle order somehow or the other. And even otherwise, you know, how formidable do you think India's batting is looking? Because we see a new look test side. You don't have the likes of experienced players like, you know, your Rahane or Pujara, right? Yet you have Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, and now, you know, there's also Dhruv Jurel, who has made his way in. So do you think that batting is looking good and it's giving you some, you know, semblance of confidence?
Yes, definitely. If you talk Indian contingent in specific, then this batting lineup has to do the job for you. It does do the job for you because you have Shreyas Iyer, who's a really good player of spin, also plays spin really well. Having said that, I really look forward to how Yashasvi Jaiswal has to do in this series. He is an young talent that, you know, has come up in the recent past. He's had a good series in West Indies. South Africa was there and about. Not really. He didn't really set the stage on fire. But Indian conditions, favorable conditions, and if, especially if you look at the five venues that are hosting these five matches, those are not ranked turners. If you look at, say, Hyderabad or Rajkot, Rajkot especially is a very flat surface. So I look forward to seeing how he makes his runs in this particular series. And it's a very young batting lineup, as you said, and we've moved on from Pujara and Rahane. I'm really looking forward to how this gen next of Indian batting comes up in this series.
Absolutely. They have a lot to, you know, showcase and make the most of a platform like this. And even talking about Dhruv Jurel, right? His inclusion did raise some surprise from fans and experts alike. But again, he's the kind of character who's been performing really well in domestic cricket. So what are your two cents on his selection and way to go?
Yeah, on Dhruv Jurel, if you see, ever since Pant got injured and was out of the side, India have been looking for a keeper who can fit into the Rishabh Pant mold, who can take on the game from, say, a 180 for 4 and then take it on to be 350 or 370 or maybe even 400. Rishabh Pant was that one player who could turn the game in one session and win you the game from there. So, from a perspective of looking at Dhruv Jurel, I think he fits into that mold. Still really early in his first-class career, still a long way to go, but he's that X factor that India have been looking for down the order to bat with the tail and then stabilize the innings with the second new ball as well. If he does get a chance, which Rahul Dravid also alluded to, it will be one of Srikar Bharat or Dhruv Jurel who will make their way into the side. Even though I feel that Srikar Bharat will start, especially with his century against the England Lions in the warm-up game, if Dhruv Jurel makes his way at any point in the series, it will be a really exciting prospect to watch given his exploits in first-class cricket.
Absolutely. And, you know, diverting our attention to the bowling side of things. Now, again, Prasad Krishna and Shardul Thakur weren't included in the squad, having featured in that series versus South Africa. I mean, both absences can be attributed to definitely injury concerns. But don't you think somewhere this is becoming a big concern that every time, you know, you want to give them a longer rope, there's an injury concern or inconsistency that kind of keeps them away from the game?
With Shardul, I think the axe has been hanging over his spot in the side for quite a long time right now because he's the kind of bowler, he'll not give you 25 overs in a day if you're playing abroad and at home as well. If you have three quality all-rounders in Akshar, Ashwin and Jadeja, you don't really need that same bowling all-rounder to come at 8 or 9. So Shardul's place in respect, I think it's a good call to drop him, given that he didn't have much of a role to play in this particular series. Prasid Krishna, I was really looking forward to seeing him in the South African series. We have spoken during the last series as well, how we missed a pacer who could, you know, use his height and give us good bounce at the ball. but unfortunately the series well didn't go as expected, and he is injured as well. Again, it comes down to the amount of cricket you're playing these days, three formats round the clock. So it's sad to see Prasidh missing, and Shardul as well. I really think that he was going to be included in this series.
Fair call. And even, you know, I think Rahul Dravid made the statement that KL Rahul won't be keeping wickets. So it's probably going to boil down to like Dhruv Jurel or Shrikar Bharat, you know, who seems like the front runner, immediate choice wicket keeper. So does Shrikar Bharat actually give you a lot of confidence? Because with the bat, he's been very, you know, scratchy. So, you know, coming in that late, still, you know, do you think he lends a lot of balance to that batting side of things?
From a keeping perspective, I think he is a well-sorted keeper. From a batting perspective, I don't really think he will be needed much as a bat. Also, to be fair to him, the cricket that he's played, the Australia series or the WBC final, both of them have been in conditions that have been hostile for batting. You don't really think of a batter who stood up either in the Australian series from an Indian perspective. The series that happened last March, or even in the WTC final, we failed as a batting unit, and primarily because the Australia series had ranked runners, none of our batters, you know, could big put up big scores, and in the WTC final, I think batting really didn't stand. So had that was part of that you know lineup wherein couldn't make a lot of runs given the conditions of how hostile it was for you know batting with the spinners, you know, having their say. And in the WTC final as well, as I told you, we didn't really stand as a batting unit. So to be fair, I think he's a great he's a good batter, and with time and with, you know, conditions varying and being conditions being more suitable for batting, I think the batting side of him will come about. But I think that he's really talked as a keeper. So probably India didn't want to risk Rahul as a keeper in Indian conditions, and that's why Shrikar Bharat slots in straight away to start the series.
Absolutely. And even, you know, further looking into the squad, we witness season all-rounders like Ravi Ashwin, Ravindra Jadeja, Akshar Patel, and even Kuldeep Yadav makes his place, you know, in this squad. So are you excited to see them bowl in tandem? And do you think it's going to be a problem of plenty for Indian choosing the right spinners? Because I think Ashwin and Jadeja definitely make the cut. But who is going to be that third spinner? Because Akshar Patel, again, you know, has this reputation versus England. The last series he played in was just brilliant, right? So Kuldeep may not get so many opportunities, maybe.
Yeah, Ashwin and Jadeja slotting straight away. They are first two spinners, and Akshar will be third spinner. Often, you know, when playing in Indian conditions and when you have spinners of Ashwin and Jadeja's quality, playing as a third spinner is really tough because you can't really get a lot many overs under your belt, and if you are off the radar a slight bit, the captain immediately goes back to his trusted pair, which is Ashwin and Jadeja. But having said that, how he performed in the last series against England, he doesn't really turn the ball a lot very much. But even if you look at his wickets in the last series, most of them were with the straighter balls, and the English batters got out playing for the turn or anticipating for the turn. So from batting perspective as well, he has a really good average batting in India, so these three all-rounders would start straight away. Kuldeep probably would have to wait in the wings, and if God forbid there's an injury, that's where I see him coming. But these are the three spinners for you to start your lineup.
Definitely. And even, you know, looking at the pace bowlers, now you have Bumrah, Siraj, Mukesh Kumar and Aavesh Khan, right? So anyone in particular you're looking forward to seeing? Because again, you know, this looks like quite an interesting and eclectic mix of like pace bowlers. So your thoughts on the same?
Yeah, it's a good mix of fast bowlers. And I see Bumrah and Siraj starting straight away because they are your frontline bowlers. And if we do manage to win, say, the first two test matches, that's where Mukesh or Aavesh could come in for either one of them. Or if they choose to rest both of them, that's where they really can come. Mukesh is someone that I'm really looking forward to seeing because how he's played over the last 6-8 months of him being an all format bowler for India, his rise specifically has been really impressive to look at. And he's someone who can swing the ball up front as well. So if there's anything that the new ball has offered for the fast bowlers and either of Bumrah or Siraj are not playing, I would really look forward to see how Mukesh plays in their place.
Certainly. And now that, you know, we have discussed so much about the Indian squad, before we move on to England, would you like to give a predicted playing 11 for Team India?
Right. So my 11 for India would be Rohit and Jaiswal at the top, Gill at 3, and then Shreyas Iyer at 4, KL at 5, Bharat at 6, Jadeja, Ashwin and Axar at 7, 8, 9, Bumrah and Siraj at 10 and 11. So that it's a straightforward 11. Once Kohli comes back, Shreyas Iyer might have to sit out. And also, I think this series is really important for Shubman Gill because we expected a lot from him in the World Cup that happened in India. Unfortunately, he had to sit out due to his health not being the best in the best form. And then in the South Africa series as well, he was not his best. So I think the how Gill fares in this particular series is going to be really looked at with scrutiny. Because if Gill doesn't perform, you have someone like an Abhimanyu Iswaran who's scoring those runs again. A domestic cricket veteran who's been scoring those runs. So maybe the axe will be on Gill if he doesn't score these runs. So that's my Indian 11 to start the series.
That actually looks pretty solid and a formidable playing 11 on paper. He was hoping, you know, Shubman Gill actually finds his groove because he's too good of a player to, you know, be let off. But his test numbers really don't do justice. So let's hope he finds his groove. And let's, you know, take our conversation forward and look at the England test squad, right? So before we delve deeper into this, what are your thoughts on Baz Ball? Now it has been spoken about, written about, and like everything, you know, the discourse has been around this. And not a lot of people buy into it. They just feel like it's a strategy and, you know, it's taking away from the whole charm of test cricket and everything. So where do you find yourself in this debate?
My thoughts on Baz Ball, I think it's a really entertaining form of play. And England have, you know, sort of played this style of cricket because the conditions have suited them to play this style of cricket. But having said that, again, you find success of a theory only when it's tested across different conditions, different places and against different attacks. In England, I think the wickets have gone flat over a period of time. While the ball does a little bit in the initial phases, once the Duke's ball gets softer, it doesn't really act up a lot. So that's been to an advantage. And even in Pakistan, they had really flat wickets and their spinners were not of the highest quality, let me put it that way. So they found success in different parts of the world. But I think this will be the final frontier for England, so to say. If they manage to find success, nothing like that. Nothing like that, because that's when your theory is tested across all conditions. But I personally don't feel that the style of play that they bring in to Indian conditions will suit them. They will really have to respect the bowler, play out the first session or the session and a half, and then try to assess what the wicket is doing and then play accordingly. With them, you know, not possessing that quality spinners that we look forward to, and India, you know, not being a match with them in terms of their spinners, the Indian spinners will rule the roost if England come about straightforward and play baseball. I think they're going to pit their own downfall. That's my thought. So I don't really find success if it is not tested across conditions. But I don't really think that's going to work in India as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's a valid point because this will be like a big litmus test to their strategy of Baz Ball that has been so widely appreciated and criticized. So yeah, again, let's see how that kind of plays out in India. And I think another major announcement, you know, ahead of this test series was how Harry Brook isn't available. You know, he's going back for personal reasons, and you have Dan Lawrence who kind of makes his way back. And we've seen, you know, the kind of form he possesses, the way he plays against India. So thoughts on his inclusion and, you know, to see him play in India will be a treat.
Yeah, I mean, again, my thoughts go to Harry Brook. I hope the media respects their privacy as well. But Dan Lawrence, again, a good talent to look forward to in India. He's made a lot of runs against India as well. So given the conditions, again, I allude a lot to the conditions. But given the conditions, I look forward to seeing how he fares up against our spinners.
Absolutely. It will be a big test for him. And let's also talk about James Anderson, right? Now, this man certainly ages like fine wine, holds the record for the most wickets taken by a bowler in tests that, you know, kind of involves India and India, India and England. And he has won 39 wickets in just 35 tests. So again, excited to see him tour India for the sixth time and just, you know, so much to look forward to.
Yeah, James Anderson, I think he's been a really inspirational figure in that England setup. And even though he's not slated to play the first test, I think he will be the senior man around, putting an arm around the juniors and telling them what kind of conditions to expect. So it really helps to have such a person in the dressing room. Someone who's played a lot of cricket against India and in India as well. As you said, he's touring for the sixth time. So he would have an experience of the Indian conditions as well. So it really helps to have someone like him in and around the dressing room. And when he comes against India, whenever he plays, maybe the second or the third test, it's going to be really exciting to watch James Anderson, 41 years old, 42 years old, and still, you know, going strong for England. So that's going to be exciting to watch.
Definitely a very heartening sign, you know, even at that age to continue bowling at that pace and miss and, you know, not having Stuart Broad at the other end and still doing his magic. And when you look at England now, they have included like three uncapped players. You have Gus Atkinson, Tom Hartley and Shoaib Bashir, who unfortunately might miss out a couple of tests because of that visa issue. Nonetheless, thoughts on, you know, them being included in this side and finally, you know, their performances in the domestic circuit getting reported?
Yeah, Shoaib Bashir is one talent that I want to speak about. He's not played a lot of first-class cricket for England. He's only played six first-class games, but this England setup, especially with Stokes and McCallum, they really seem to rate him highly. And they were visibly frustrated of him missing out, of him having to miss out the first test. But having said that, really tall, gets the ball to spin, uses his height well. So from an off-spinner's perspective, I really look forward to see how Shoaib Bashir performs. And then Tom Hartley and Gus Atkinson as well. Gus Atkinson, I think, was part of the World Cup squad as well for England. He's toured India. And Tom Hartley as well, another spinner that they took the punt on. Reasonable first-class success. But again, first-class conditions, first-class conditions in England and the spin camp that they had in Abu Dhabi, that's completely different to what they can face up in India. So having said that, the two uncapped spinners plus Rehan Ahmed, the leg spinner, the young leg spinner, I'm looking forward to see how these how these bowlers perform in our conditions. Because often when spinners come and tour India, we see that the bowlers outbowl them in terms of number of overs or number of wickets as well. Very often or very rarely do we see a spinner bowl out India. So they have taken the punt on them, and I hope they come well, and they would have the Indian spinners to share their thoughts too, and, you know, get some brains on how they would bowl in Indian conditions as well. So exciting prospects. I look at how they fare in India.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, and also, you know, looking at England's batting now, you have Joe Root, Zach Crawley, Ben Stokes, Johnny Bairstow, you have Ben Duckett and Ollie Pope. That's again definitely a very formidable batting lineup that England will definitely look to present to India, because these are quality batters who have the experience of having played in these conditions. So excited to see them. And do you think anyone can get those big runs?
Yeah, from the batting group, if you look at the batters that you've just mentioned, these are the same batters that almost the same set of batters that toured India previously as well on the previous tour of 2021. So they do have the experience of playing in India and Indian conditions as well. Joe Root is someone who plays spin really well. Ben Stokes is another player who plays spin really well, and an advantage that these England batters possess is that they can really get down to the ball and sweep the ball against the spinners. So if you're sweeping the spinner, it means that you put him away from their line and their length as well. So that's an advantage that these batters possess. But to what extent will they be able to, use this advantage and use the experience of having played in these conditions when they face up in the actual game, on the game day, on that particular pitch, is something that only time will tell. But again, these batters, they've come to India quite often and they've played against India and in Indian conditions as well, so they don't really lack their experience on that front.
Certainly, that will be an interesting proposition to see. And also, when we look at England's pace attack, now you, of course, have Ollie Robinson, who has a brilliant record versus India. You have Jimmy Anderson, you have Gus Atkinson. So again, this looks like a good pace attack that can trouble the Indian batters.
Yeah, the pace department sort itself out of the pace that they have. They're only going to play one or two pace game often, but it's the spin department where they lack, as I've alluded previously as well. They do take, if you look at the England spinners, are these bowlers going to bowl 25-30 overs a day? Are these bowlers someone who you can trust on conditions that are really helping their spinners? Is Joe Root another spinning option that you can look at? And is he your bowler who can give you that control and bowl those long spells? How many of these spinners can bowl you long spells and bowl the same ball after ball in the same spot and maintain that consistency? That is something that only they will have to answer. But they've taken some punts on really some really young and exciting talents who've had reasonable first-class success. Again, these conditions are something new to them. Most of the spinners have not played in India previously. And spin bowling is not something that you can learn in a 10-day camp in the UAE or, with someone teaching you. It comes with experience having played across different conditions. So the Indian conditions will offer them help, will offer them assistance. But how well they make use of these conditions and how they come forward is something that only time will tell.
Certainly, and how that unfolds will be interesting to see. And are there any players you're particularly looking forward to seeing? Because England, again, presents themselves as a great squad in spite of their weaknesses. But anything that's coming right at the top of your mind?
Yeah, in this podcast, I've spoken a lot about the spinners. So straight up, two spinners come up in my mind. One is Rehan Ahmed. Again, exciting talent, just 19 years of age. How he comes up in these conditions is something that I'm looking forward to. Shoaib Bashir as well. Unfortunately, he's not playing the first test due to reasons out of our control and out of cricketing control. But if he does play, I think he was up in the pecking order to play the first test, but sadly he has to miss out. But when he comes back into this side, I look forward to how he performs as well.
Definitely. And England has done another interesting thing of announcing their playing 11 now, before tomorrow's match. So are you satisfied with England's playing 11 and think they can actually pose a challenge to Team India?
Yeah, they've packed their side with spinners with Joe Root as well, who can win with the ball. The batting pretty much sorts itself out. But how they come up against the Indian bowlers is something that we'll need to see. And England, for some reason, really believe that these pitches will start turning from ball one. I genuinely hope that we don't produce rank turners, because this is something that has come back to bite us both in Pune and in Indore as well. The two recent tests that we lost against Australia, that is something that has come back to bite us. And I hope they produce 14 pitches. And if they produce pitches that, you know, offer balance between ball and bat, still India walks in with an advantage, but they'll more of a fairer match between both India and England, and see the game going forward, maybe even to the fourth or the fifth day. If there are rank turners, India certainly do walk the edge, but again, it comes with a caveat that England can come back and bite you at any point. That has happened in the past. But if there are sportive pitches that are produced, it's going to be a really exciting series.
Definitely. And even, you know, the kind of discourse and chatter around the pitch, I hope that also comes to an end. And we kind of see an evenly contested contest, even though the India fan in me kind of hopes, you know, we go all the way and start the series on an auspicious note. And even though India has not announced their playing 11 as yet, are there any key matchups that you're particularly looking forward to and, you know, thinking about it right now is getting you all pumped up?
Yeah, certainly one matchup that I can think of is Akshar Patel versus Johnny Bairstow. Bairstow has had his issues against Akshar Patel. He's been bowled on quite a few occasions. So that's one matchup. And then Virat Kohli and Shoaib Bashir, when that matchup occurs, is going to be another exciting matchup, because if you look at Kohli in the recent past, he's had this trend of getting out to a new spinner. A debutant, if I can put it that way, on a very light note. So that matchup also will be really exciting to watch. And the third matchup that I want to give you is Ben Stokes and Ashwin, a left-hander. Ashwin loves bowling to left-hander. So that is something that, and he's, you know, constantly taking the dish out of the kettle on multiple occasions. So that is another matchup that I'm going.
Absolutely echo a similar sentiment there. You know, those matchups definitely get us all excited. And do you have any predictions for the series? Because, you know, all over social media, I see like sweeping declarations, like, you know, India is going to win at 5-0, or, you know, it's going to be like a 4-0 sort of scoreline. That's probably going to be the situation after those test matches. So do you have any bold predictions to make here?
I'm going to be a little conservative and say maybe 3-1, or maybe slightly more optimistic would be 4-1 in India's favor, or maybe even there's going to be a test that's going to be ending up in a draw, because Rajkot is a really flat wicket, so maybe we'll see a draw in Rajkot, but India do walk in with an edge, and maybe it's going to be 3-1 or 4-1 in favor of India.
Right. And as we, you know, reach the end of our discussion, do you have any last and final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, just a couple of thoughts. First thing is regarding Ashwin. He is on the brink of 100 tests and 500 wickets, something that not a lot of bowlers have achieved. And if you look at the quality that he brings to this Indian side, It's phenomenal. And he's 36, 37 years old, not getting any younger. So I really look forward to seeing how Ashwin fares in this series. If all goes well, the test in Dharmashala will be his 100th test. And often in his YouTube videos and vlogs, he's spoken about how difficult it is for a cricket coming from Tamil Nadu, trying to make it big in the next stage. So not a lot of cricketers have had success, or not a lot of cricketers from Tamil Nadu particularly have had longer runs. Yeah, I look forward to seeing Ashwin there.
Definitely, you know, this hopefully is not the last swan song for him, because he's that kind of a spinner, you know, you'd want in your arsenal for a lot of years coming. And he's been bowling so well, the wickets and the records literally speak for himself. So they speak for themselves. So here's hoping, you know, he can have a long and prolonged career. And this series also, you know, we get to see that sort of a performance. And yeah, on that note, I'd like to draw curtains on this discussion. Thank you so much, Rijan, you know, for once again joining me on the podcast on such short notice and, you know, sharing these remarkable insights. Every conversation with you is incredible. And this also, you know, definitely is right up there. And here's hoping we can have you back on the podcast. Now we have the YouTube channel as well. So, you know, we can have you in those live conversations because you bring so much to the table. And yeah, until next time, stay safe and take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify if you've made it here so far, and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. Do check out @NavyOnTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads, and @NavyOnTheBackFoot on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season just for you. The podcast is also available on a lot of streaming platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Never on the Back Foot is also on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to the channel and stay tuned for a lot of fun conversations and insightful content that's coming up there. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.